If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 5th to the 8th of January 2026. Hello there, how are you this week? Everyone in the UK, how are you doing with all the snow and weather events that have been kicking off this week? Storm Goretti, if you're not in the UK, we've had a big old storm this week. Probably nothing compared to things that other countries get, but like one flake of snow in this country just stops everything. Absolutely everything. Doesn't it, Ray?
Yeah, it does, literally, like me getting to my parents' house to record this morning, struck my daughter off, so yeah, hello.
It's ridiculous, really. Like, a bit of snow and the whole country grinds to a halt.
It's because we're never prepared, are we? I'm saying this, I don't know how easy it is to, you know, get grits on every street in the UK in case it does happen to snow, but
like, well, I can tell you how easy it is. It hasn't snowed where I am. It's just rained. And I was on my way back from the pub last night and there was a gritter driving along the road. I was like, what the hell are you out for? There's nothing for you to do.
Can you send him my way, please?
Yeah, gladly.
Send him my way. My street's like, horrendous.
I'm on a hill. Why are you here? What are you doing? Yeah. What are you gritting? Yeah. There's no reason for you to be out whatsoever. It's rained and that's it. So there we go.
It's been a miserable week here. We had black ice the other day as well. Didn't dare blooming move. Oh, I hate it. Just in case anyone doesn't know, I hate snow.
I love snow. That's why I'm dressed as snow today, if you're not watching. Mm-hmm. Got a big old white hoodie on. And I love snow. It's my favourite weather event. We never get it. That's why. Anyway, ladies and gents, let's talk award ceremonies. The vote is now open for the Albert Square After Dark Awards for 2025. This is where you can click to vote for all your favourite performances, all your favourite storylines, all of it. And you can vote on the link that you will find in the show notes below. And we will be doing the award ceremony at some point next week, I should think, won't we? Somewhere around then we'll arrange it. But we will. The vote is now open. So get voting for your favourite. And please only vote once. Don't be one of them.
I've got to put it out there. Look, you have got to have a registered email address for it because we don't want everybody triple million voting. It will not registered. Like, I think it's a Gmail, but just be warned. I do apologise. There is no other fair way of doing it, but please do it anyway. Because you know,
and we have to. And to be fair, we have to do it like that because didn't we get like it was bots?
We got some bots on it, which is why we have to do it like that.
It's nothing to do with people going, "We love you," so I'm going to create 7 million email accounts in order to vote for them. It's the fact that bots and things.
I don't know why. But anyway,
I don't know how it works or why it happens or why bots would care. But bots.
Why would bots care?
Why are bots caring? Much more botty things to worry about. Anyway, so that's open, so get voting, please. On to this week's EastEnders. It was a week, I think, that got better as it went along. We started in some very odd places, I thought.
Very odd place. Very, very odd places.
Very odd places.
Do you know what? Trying to do something with the Slaters, and it's just nothing seems to be hitting with them at the minute. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not all bad and everything, but like, it seems to be the failing point, which is meant to be the focus of the show at the minute.
It seems quite mad that last week we were all like, oh wow, the flash forward and everything was really exciting, really, really, and we had nothing about that this week whatsoever. I know they've got a whole year to tell whatever they're telling with the flash forward, but like, Max was barely in it this week, and it's sort of like, that feels like it was maybe a bit of an anticlimax to what was built up to last week, you know?
Anticlimax,
Oh.
sorry. I know what you're saying. It just felt a bit... Do you know what? Sometimes with this era, it feels like you'll have like a really good week and then it just goes meh, and then a really good meh, and you don't really know what, like, you don't know what to expect, do you? But there we go.
But there was good in this week.
Yeah, there was, like I say,
it got better as the week went on. And I thought we ended on quite a good note with the Ravi storyline. So let's crack on. We're talking about it in this week's
Albert Square After Dark.
Right, let's kick off this week. We're talking about Jean. Madness at the start of the week. Absolute madness.
Do you mean Detective Inspector Jean?
D.I. Slater, apparently. Right, so it was very much established this week. I'll take back what I said last week. I have a feeling that I said last week, I don't know if Jean is having an episode. I feel like she's just...
I think we both said this. We were both confused because she seemed like down and then she seemed quite...
Which I suppose in itself should be a suggestion that maybe something is like a little bit untoward with her. But I think it was official this week that she was in an episode because we had like the hot flushes and everything that is apparently really common. And she certainly was becoming quite obsessive. Now, as the week went on, this story started to make a bit more sort of narrative sense to me. I was okay with her. So weirdly, I was absolutely fine with her sort of seeing the devil in Jasmine and all of that kind of thing. Same. Fine. No issues with that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Where I did have an issue was Detective Inspector Jean Slater. I don't understand what they were going for with this, because I can understand I can understand her becoming obsessed with the idea of solving Anthony's murder, but not to the point where she seems to physically believe that she is a police officer.
Yeah, it was a bit bizarre, and I was like, are we supposed to be laughing? Like, don't get me wrong, I think Summer, it was supposed to be humorous, but then are you not taking away from a very serious issue that you're trying to portray?
There's an element of it that I kind of think that, like, there's an element of it that I kind of wonder if was with these sorts of storylines, even with Nigel's story, I kind of feel like there's always, I think in terms of coping mechanisms, I feel like for people that are going through that, there's areas of humour to be kind of taken out of it. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, you know, coping and sort of, you know, because some of the situations that some of these illnesses cause are kind of quite mad sometimes, aren't they? So I can understand that, but I don't know if I believe that anybody in Jean's position has ever believed themselves to be a police officer, like going around calling Alfie Moon as though he's her assistant or something. And like,
do you think she actually did believe she was one though, or she was just trying to take on the persona and it were a bit like method acting? And well, if I try and convince myself to be a detective, I'm going to actually solve the crime better, because she's like, oh, I've been looking it up. It weren't like she were literally saying, I am a detective. Do you know
But everything that she was doing, like sort of looking up, like, you know, suspect motives and what to do to lock down a scene and all that kind of thing, I can get that. But it was just the whole she did seem to believe that she was a police officer, like the way that she was talking to Alfie as though he was her subordinate and all of that kind of thing just felt weird to me.
I took that as Jean almost trying to make some kind of light of it by like being like Moon and doing what she's seen in like detective shows to him, but then still trying to solve the crime.
She didn't seem to be in a joking mood when she did any of it, I would say.
Well, no, that is true, but I just felt like she was trying to be like, oh, look, I'm in character, not actually being in it. Does that make sense?
I don't, but
you could argue Brecht vs. Stanislavski, Robbie, you could, if one would like
The Stanislavskian ways of solving a murder, I feel it maybe could have been studied by Jean at that moment. But I don't know. I feel like it's not, in terms of Jean's mind at that point, I feel like it's not that layered, because I feel like it's like, later on in the week where she's like, oh, well, Jasmine's the devil. That's it. You know, there's no sort of like, it's not like she was dressed as a priest at any point when she was doing that bit. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like she was trying to exercise her or anything like that. Yeah. But I just thought the police kind of weird, that was just weird. I don't know what they were going for with that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It didn't land, shall we say.
Yes. So, I mean, but from there, I think the story improved, because then she starts to becoming kind of quite obsessed with the idea of Jasmine being evil and sort of relating her to the devil, not helped by the fact that she started watching what I can only take to be some sort of cult religious leader person on YouTube, which kind of worries
me. Devildom.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, and I can imagine that those...
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Things do exist as well. Yeah, but it's sort of like when you've got someone in Jean's mind, and by that point, she is having like hot flushes, you know, everyone else is freezing in the house and Jean's boiling hot. Like that's grade one classic episode stuff that she's going through there. Because I remember them talking about all of that when Stacey was first diagnosed with bipolar.
Yes, yeah. So she's definitely in an episode, like you said, that 100%. Kind of is the physical and, side as well.
Yeah, and Alfie is being left to deal with all of this because Kat, this frustrated me because I know this frustrated me. Oh, because they mentioned Door, and I was like, oh, we see Door again. I love Door. Mm-hmm. We want to see Door again, but we didn't see Door again. We just saw more of Detective Jean, and I was sort of like, I really wanted to see Door because Kat has now got off. Where's she gone? Where's she gone? She's gone somewhere abroad to try and find Chrissy.
Where was it now?
Where was it? I can't remember, but she's gone abroad.
Somewhere that we've...
Yeah, yeah, somewhere on a plane. She's gone to sort of track Chrissy down. And so Alfie is left to deal with everything that's going on, including moving Jasmine into the Vic. So who do you... where are you on Who Killed Anthony at this point?
They've not really shown us any new suspects recently, so I'm still kind of... leaning towards, I feel like Tommy for some reason. I think that's after the other week.
Yeah, Tommy's not a bad shout. I'm sort of like, I am leaning more to, like, last week I was leaning away from Jasmine. Mm. And just the amount of sort of attention that Jean specifically was putting on Jasmine this week kind of made me wonder if maybe it is Jasmine. And because Jean was having an episode, no one's going to pay any attention to it whatsoever.
I do know what you mean. It could easily be Jasmine. But then I feel like they'd have to show Jasmine show like having a bit more of a personal crisis about because she's found out it was her dad.
I feel like she was doing that last week and the week before.
True. It could easily be Jasmine, and it'd be the most easiest way of explaining it and conceivable, to be honest. Mm. Or just Chrissy. For me, it's Tommy or Chrissy because I feel like, I would say Jasmine seems too obvious, but I didn't even realise until you pointed it out of the week. Yeah. But then the obvious thing, it has always been the obvious way recently.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chrissy red herrings in.
The Chrissy thing doesn't make any sense to me, though. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, like it would have to have gone so perfectly for Chrissy to do that.
Yeah.
And why does she go upstairs? There's just too much of it that doesn't make sense. That doesn't, unfortunately, necessarily mean that it isn't Chrissy that did it. No. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. If it ends up being that it was Chrissy, then it'd be implied that she'd planned it all somehow, and how could she have planned it to the T like that? Unless it was Chrissy and actually she didn't plan it. She just went in to go and find Zoe at that moment and saw what happened and thought, oh, I can free it.
Maybe. But again, it's sort of, I don't know. Chrissy seemed too surprised that everyone was feeling really jumpy when they all came down to see her on that Christmas day. So I don't know, but I guess we'll find out at some point. Or maybe she was, who knows. Jean, meanwhile, I mean, there was a marvellous moment this week when Jean flew across the bar to try and attack Jasmine. She was not,
I actually felt sorry for Jasmine this week. She's just come into this new Slater family. She's not really encountered Jean much.
No, I mean, what do you do if this is the first Jean you meet?
Yeah, innit? This is Jean, Jasmine.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, lovely to meet you. Me and you are going to be the best of friends. Jean is not in a great place with Jasmine this week at all, and she does just consistently believe that Jasmine is responsible for everything going wrong, everybody leaving
her. She's not wrong in some way.
Well, she starts blaming Jasmine for like things like Stacey leaving and leaving and everything like that. So she starts to sort of associate Jasmine with everything bad that has been going on in her life the past few months, even before Jasmine even showed up. I imagine that she's got issues. No, it's her fault that Sean's gone. It's her fault. It's Jasmine's fault that Daniel died, you know, all of that kind of thing. And so in the end, this kind of culminates in her effectively taking Jasmine hostage upstairs in the Vic with a stool.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable. I really felt for Jasmine in that. I actually was a bit scared that she was genuinely going to attack Jasmine in that moment.
I mean, it seemed to be the state that she was in. Oscar sort of saves the situation, and then Alfie sort of kind of drags her away and locks her in a room. Eve, I thought, was a star throughout all of this, considering everything that Eve was doing this week and trying to deal with her adoption meeting and everything like that. I thought Eve dealt with Jean so well. I love Eve within the Slater unit.
I'm glad that they brought Eve back into the unit, actually, because I have been thinking, shouldn't Eve be a bit more involved, especially like with Lily and Charlie, then... Arguably, you could say, shouldn't Stacey technically have come back by now? But obviously, we don't.
I mean,
there's reasons for that.
The problem, the thing that I think the problem with this is that under any other circumstances, you would be ringing Stacey up and saying, yeah, no, you need to come home. This is, you know, you need to at least come and sort Jean out. Go back afterwards, fine. But like, you need to be here right now. And unfortunately, that isn't going to happen at the moment. No. So it's sort of like, they kind of keep coming up with excuses as to why they're not going to involve Stacey in this whatsoever. Because she's having such a great time in Brazil.
I mean, fair enough, but...
I like the fact that Jean said this week, I don't even know where Sean is. It's like, you know where Sean is. He's with, he's where Stacey is. You know what I mean? Like, mind gone. Mind gone completely. And so Alfie has to try and, like, basically get Jean to take in this new batch of medication, which should balance her out a little bit more.
Yeah, does it? Is it not quite alarming that when, you know, people are in these mental health situations that they've not got, like, a doctor actually keeping an eye on them as well to make sure of this? Like, what about those people who don't have family members?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it all works, to be honest. I mean, I think, you know, you've got to sort of consider on a day-to-day basis, you know, it's okay. But I think that you're sort of relying on, I mean, it's, they haven't got the resources to do that, have they?
Well, really? I've do you know what? Jean reminds me more and more of my nan. Like, obviously, you know what has happened with my nan and things. And in my nan's situation with things like this, they, I mean, it's a bit different. My nan's, like, had to be sectioned before. But they keep a really close eye on her, like, but she has to stay in a mental health unit. And for me, I'm thinking, I think Jean's at that stage now.
Jean is sectioning.
To be honest, because she's not quite, she's not in reality, is she? She's in, and when they're at that stage, I can only go on my personal experience that I've had with my nan going through similar kind of things. They have to really monitor, like, how this medication affects them, because sometimes it don't work. And they go, right, we need to adapt it, or sometimes it can take weeks. Meanwhile, in those weeks that it can take to work, they're still not living in our reality, and having all these different... And she's actually proving quite dangerous now, isn't she?
Yeah,
she, like, tried to attack Jasmine twice.
Yeah, she's in front of everybody as well. So she's not sort of doing it behind closed doors or anything. Like, she's openly kind of quite a danger to people. Like, Lily even turned around to her and said, I don't want Charlie around you at the moment. So...
Yeah, which is quite... Who was it? Were it Kat or Alfie who said to, I think, Jasmine recently, oh, don't worry, even when Jean's, like, you know, having a mental health episode, like, she'll never hurt anyone. And it's like, yeah, she's just tried to attack her with a stool.
5 minutes later, she's holding her hostage with a stool. I'm leaning more towards that she might be okay after the medication.
The medication will just be okay and she'll be all right. Sure.
But will that change your views on Jasmine?
What, Jean's views? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Because apparently her views on Zoe have changed.
I know, right? It's like she's shifted all of this anger that she had towards Zoe
onto
now
Jasmine.
On Jasmine.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just, you know, she's trying to blame somebody for everyone leaving her, isn't she? That's where it comes down to ultimately, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in fairness, Jean, even Jasmine White, Jean has got a point. I did do lots of, like, really shady stuff to everyone. Yeah,
yeah. This is fine. I understand this. Yeah, I don't know. But I think, like I said, what I will say is fair play to Gillian Wright, who I thought got given some rubbish to deal with on Monday, and she dealt and she acted it all, like, really convincingly and everything. Like, I feel like sometimes you can tell when an actor isn't quite believing what the script is asking them to say, but I feel like she kind of delivered it all really convincingly. You know?
I agree. I think she's always she's just
she's
so
good.
Amazing at playing Jean, isn't she? And, like,
great.
You say, whatever she's given, she'll still give it her all. I think.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
absolutely.
Fair play.
But I'm
if you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, We personalize real solutions, hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Is that it sort of rightened itself out throughout the week, and we didn't just stick with Detective Inspector Gene Slater throughout the entire week, because as if they were trying to do a pilot for some sort of spin-off where Gene goes around for solving murders.
It was strange. It didn't, it didn't quite land that. She also, while she was in, was it while she was still being Detective Gene, she goes around to Yolandi and Patrick's, doesn't she? And
yes.
Then tries to talk to Yolandi about it all.
I feel like that was the start of it sort of starting to make more narrative sense again. Like, it was almost as though they sort of had to maybe fill a bit of the episode before they got to the stuff that was actually what the story was actually about, which was Gene going into an episode. Like, I understand the detective stuff was supposed to be part of that, but it was sort of like, I feel like you could have just kept it at the, you know, Jasmine is evil tone throughout the whole week and it would have been fine, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Do you think this might be what all... help Patrick, like, start getting to know Jasmine?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I thought that the stuff with Patrick and Yolandi was interesting this week, where you've sort of got Patrick is just kind of just closing himself off. Like, he thinks he's a failure of a father. He's blaming himself for everything. Yolandi's not kind of dealing with it too well. I think that she's really struggling to sort of see, sort of try and help him. And Jean bursting in like she did, just sprouting all of this rubbish, was not helping the situation whatsoever.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. Will Yolandi then say, is this the right, like, is moving in with the Slaters the right thing for Jasmine? And will she maybe, you know, try and get her to get to know her granddad a bit more, the Truman side of the family, with all this going on?
The thing is with Jasmine, I like her as a character, but I'm trying to just, I don't know whether I dare get invested in her as a character too much, because in case she turns out to be the killer and then leaves, I don't know whether she is going to be like a full-time resident and when this Anthony's murder mystery is solved, is she still going to be there or not?
I feel like with the Anthony murder, they're going to make it be, you know, I've said Tommy, but I actually do think they're going to end up just making it Chrissy, and that it's somebody that we don't have to see a court case with.
But it doesn't have too much effect on everything that's going on screen.
Yeah, otherwise I feel like maybe we'd have seen a little bit more of the whodunit side. I feel like it happened at Christmas. We've got a few people who it could be, and then that's it. They've not really done a massive focus on it. I could be eating my words. Maybe they're going to do a bit more next week, but don't know. For me, I mean, do you know somebody else, though, that it could be? I'm watching too much Traitors though at the minute, because I'm
Fiona?
Like, oh.
Fiona might have done it.
Could it be Alfie?
I've seen a couple of theories, but I can't see Alfie doing that, in all honesty. It doesn't seem to... I can't imagine Alfie putting everyone in the Slaters through that. You know,
very true, when he knows it were him all along.
Actually, I don't think that Alfie would be able to cope with that either.
But he's not, is he? Remember when he takes Jean to the doctors and he like says, oh, I've not slept since all of this has happened and blah,
that
blah,
poor
blah.
Doctor, like... honestly. That doctor was not... The look on that doctor's face was, I am not getting paid, you know.
Gee, Rob, he lives on Albert Square, you know, he's busy enough. Don't worry, I'm used to it here, Oh, you've had that murder, he'll not be fazed by it.
Yeah, oh, you've got an instant wall, have you, like the fans do when they're solving one of their own, solving the six storyline. Yeah, no, I've got one
like the six,
as well,
2023, I hear you.
Right, ladies and gents, let's now move on to the next story. The Nigel storyline this week, they go to a care home and Nigel freaks out, basically. And honestly, I can't blame him for freaking out a little bit, because can you imagine, like, bearing in mind that this is early onset dementia that Nigel's got, and you're sort of walking in to this place where I think the what they were giving across was that Nigel was basically walking into a room full of what he saw as old people and like being helped around and everything. It's sort of like, I don't belong here. This is weird and discombobulating and all that kind of thing, you know?
It is... Dementia care homes are a strange thing anyway, really, aren't they? Because like we've said, it's better for somebody to be in their home environment, and then when it's got worse, you're putting them in this really unfamiliar environment.
Yeah. I mean, I understand obviously, because they're better suited to deal with
it. Of course,
initial movement must be so confusing and so scary for everybody that's involved in that. Never mind the person who's actually got the dementia or the Alzheimer's. Like, you're actually putting them in a really scary situation. It's nobody's fault that it's like that, but Yeah, it can't be easy. And I think I can understand why Phil kind of went back on what he was saying this week and was like, actually, no, this is a bad idea. I
Do you
get
know
he's wrong,
what?
but I get what he's
It's
saying.
I like that they're doing that though, because it's a very realistic way
I
that
think so,
families do deal with
yeah.
this kind of thing as well. Because you've got like Julie, who of course would prefer not to put Nigel in a
But
care
what choice
home,
has she got? Yeah.
but knows for her, like knows it's the right thing, really.
Yeah.
But then you've got Phil, who didn't agree, then agrees to it, then goes and sees it and changes his mind again. And there's always going to be disagreements with family members. I'm classing Phil as family,
Of course,
about
don't we all? Uncle Phil.
about what is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's quite realistic that they're showing this side, actually, and that they've not just gone, oh yeah, let's do it, oh
Yeah,
we'll put him
100%.
there, done.
Yeah,
I'm glad that they're actually going into it. And Julie's got to sell the house in Scotland as well to fund it, which is
Yes.
a very realistic approach to showing it,
Yeah.
because
It's not cheap.
that's basically, well, you can, they do that. So somebody like with my granddad, when we were looking at care homes for him, we basically you sell the house and that goes straight to the government to pay for the care. That's how it all works. If you don't own a property, then
Yeah.
essentially
What
the
do you
government pay for it. But
do?
otherwise, yeah.
Where I'm slightly less with Phil this week was when Nigel sort of clocks a picture of a beach and decides that he wants to go to a beach. And Phil's like, right, that's cool. I'll take you to Portugal and to see Grant. It's
Not
like,
Margate or
no,
something.
take him to Skegness. Do you know what I mean? There's a beach there. You know, don't take him abroad. That's like, well, I thought we'd been through this with Nigel when he realized, no, India would be a very bad idea. I won't understand India. And he's not going to understand Portugal. I know that the idea is to take him to Grant and have him surrounded by people who will care for him and look after him and everything. But it's like getting there on a plane and going through the madness that is any airport in London. Like, bad idea, Phil.
Yeah, agreed. Not a good, like we said, like why Portugal? Just yes, Gege, clean it
Yeah,
up,
just take him
come
to
on.
Cleethorpes. He'll have a lovely day. He'll win a hooker duck and he'll win a goldfish. And then you can come home and then
That's
you can
it.
say, what a lovely day we had at the seaside. That's all you need to do. You don't need to take him thousands of miles across Europe. It's
It's
like, just.
Phil. It's Phil trying to. He's clutched at
Yeah.
that one little comment, hasn't he? Of, oh, he wants
100%.
to go to a
Yeah.
beach, so now I need to take
Right.
him to Portugal,
That's it. I'll take
obviously.
him to Sydney. That's what needs to
Yeah,
happen here.
we'll
I'll
go
take him to
Australia.
Summer
Yeah,
Bay.
why not?
Why not? Yeah, so Julie obviously does not know about this. So that's going to be interesting when that comes out. Sam, meanwhile, we have appear to have had Sam's official diagnosis of breast cancer happen off screen.
Yeah, it's a strange one, this, isn't it? It's like, is it that she's having something removed and then she's still got to have radiotherapy? So it's
Yeah.
like early stages, so it's not,
Yeah. But it's like
stage
when she
four,
first
but.
arrived, she'd found a lump and assumed that it was breast cancer and had to be persuaded to go to a doctor and have that confirmed. But we never got the confirmation that it was
That
breast
is so
cancer on
true.
screen, which feels really weird to me.
Yeah, we should have seen it because I believe her. But
Yeah,
then why have we
yeah.
not seen any of it? And I know that we're supposed to believe her anyway, but you're right.
It
You
kind of
could say
feels
we've
like
not actually seen it, and we should see that
we should have
moment.
seen that because, like, being told that you have breast cancer is a pretty big thing, you know. I feel like they should have, what they probably should have done is like had a like arrive on the square. I have breast cancer. I've seen to a doctor. I've had it confirmed, and then go through that journey from there. And I'm sort of now, you know, she arrives in Walford having this diagnosis confirmed to her and is trying to make amends. And then everybody sort of rallies around her, and we're into the story as we are now. But it just feels really weird that she didn't know 100% when she first arrived, and then we have the confirmation of it off screen, which feels like a big character moment that we should have seen.
Yeah, I agree. Why haven't we seen it? You don't think, I mean, how long is Sam back for? I know it's not for a long
Yeah, I mean,
stint.
it's not for long, so I feel like we're sort of maybe fast forwarding through what's happening here a little bit, which
Well, this
again
is what I
doesn't.
was going to say. I hope that they've not just, they wanted the whole Christmas day with Zoe, Sam, and Chrissy.
Yeah.
And they're not just going to go, all right, well, we'll speed through the breast cancer
Yeah.
stuff, because that was kind of our excuse in inverted commas
Yeah,
for
I mean,
bringing her
it does
back.
feel like a big reason to bring Sam back was that Christmas Day episode to have the trio back on screen again. I mean, you know, I would hope that from here we'll focus on it a lot more because at the minute Sam is actually kind of like a background character at the minute, isn't she? It's not like I don't feel like we've really focused on this story all that much since she's been back, which is odd.
No, I think we've seen a bit of like almost, I don't want to say character development, a bit of character growth. Like she's had a couple of
Yeah.
scenes with Charlie and stuff and taking more of an interest in
Yes.
Charlie.
That's
But then
nice.
what, she's
Yeah.
just going to go? I mean, that is Sam, I guess.
That's Sam all over, really, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, hopefully in the coming weeks, we're going to really focus on her more. And like you say, growth for Sam would be a great thing as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when she realizes that actually, if, you know, considering that obviously the outcome of this seems to be that she's going to get through this and sort of realize, well, look at what you've got. This is what you could have lost, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's time to step up and be a bit better. But the fact that she's not going to be around for long suggests that that's not going to happen. And she's just going to go back to Portugal or Ibiza or somewhere like that. Yeah, on living the life of Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, and leave, you know, Ricky to it with Charlie XCX and what? Should even know any details about her. I don't know, maybe they'll write in that they've gone to see her a bit more or something. I don't know.
Maybe, but we'll see. But yeah, the Phil and Nigel stuff. I will say, I think that, you know, the producer change, sometimes when a story is going on one era and then carries on in another, you can feel like a real sort of, like, it goes downhill quite quickly. Yeah. But with this, I feel like they've actually really kept this story above water throughout the whole time.
So, I agree, actually. It's been quite a smooth transition, actually, in that regard.
Very. They've been quite respectful with it, and I think it's been really nicely handled all the way through.
We're like, still at the start of January, pretty much. Do you think he's going to be gone then for the anniversary? It's going to be, isn't it?
I think so. I feel like I can believe it from here that he's got about a month left. I think they can get away with that, I think. Sad.
Get the tissues at the ready then for February.
Exactly. Happy birthday, EastEnders. On to Linda now. And Linda, finally, Linda is doing something for Linda, you know?
Yes, of all the things that you could do for yourself as
honestly, well. Honestly, I mean, honey turning around to Linda and saying, isn't it about, when was the last time you did something for you, Linda, other than that 5-month cruise that you've just stepped off 2 weeks ago? Are you joking? Like, honestly. But Linda has had an invitation to go to a school reunion. I can tell you now, without a shadow of a doubt, I would not be going to any school reunion.
I was debating this, right?
Uni reunion? Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've kept in touch with all people from uni that I'm that bothered about, Rob, if I'm honest with you. But there you go.
So just me then.
Nice. And another one. And another
I'm very
one.
Honoured. Very touched and honoured. You lived across the road from her anyway.
Well, I didn't. We didn't know each other till
Did you not? Oh, I thought you lived in the same. Oh, well, there you go then. Anyway. I wouldn't go to a school reunion, is what I was saying. Would you?
I'd be 50-50 because I feel like I'd only want to see a few people anyway. And if I were that bothered about seeing them, why wouldn't I just suggest, hi guys, it's been a few years. Shall we meet up? I wouldn't want to meet. There'd be like so many people I wouldn't want to see.
This is what I mean. All the school bullies.
I remember.
Yeah. All the school bullies. Yeah, there is that as well. I did get invited to one a few months ago. And I was like looking through the people that had been invited on the list and was like, some of these people I had forgotten even existed. If I'd pass them in the street, I probably wouldn't have even remembered who they were.
Yeah.
It's mad,
exactly.
Isn't it?
And who would even go to it? Like, who would, do you know what I mean? Who'd actually go to a school reunion?
Well, if Linda's school, all of them, it would transpire.
Except all of her friends that she was popular girls with.
Yeah, all of those. Well, that's because they're too successful to have been attending a school. Yeah, and they also knew that they had guilt written through them like a stick of rock. And
aware.
Yeah, B would have them. Because Honey and Linda go to the school reunion. Why Honey decides to tag along, I don't know. But I quite like the idea of Honey just like going along to a random school reunion just to get pissed. I quite like that.
She went with Elaine, didn't she, and Jean?
Yeah,
not long ago.
I do. Best friends with Nicola. I like this era of Honey where she just like flitters into people's stories and just peppers a little bit of humour.
I was just about to say like that Honey injects that little bit of humour. Mm. Sometimes it's a bit like, all right, she won't be that daft, but okay, fine.
Spread a bit of honey over a story for a bit of sweetness, you know? That's what you do. That's what you do. But they go to the school reunion and at the door, they realise that people are being name-checked. So Linda obviously has a badge because she's Linda Peacock, as was. And Honey doesn't have a badge because Honey didn't go to that school. So she has to sort of... Linda grabs a badge randomly off a table of B. Pollard. I did quite enjoy the whole sort of B. Pollen lip operation thing. I thought that was quite funny. And so Honey becomes B. Pollard. And so in they go. And unfortunately, they come face to face with the real B. Pollard inside. Now, a slight kind of, I don't like doing this, but a slight plot stumble there was, how did B get in?
If she didn't have a name badge. That's exactly what I was thinking. If it was that big of a deal.
Yeah, that they were name-checking everybody. Yeah, how did B get in the first place?
Did she say, well, I'm B, someone's took my name badge, and then why did they not go and check who'd got her name badge? But anyway,
Anyway.
But I agree.
And this is B. Pollard, played by Ronnie Anaconda. I can never say her name. I'd always want to say Anaconda, and it's not Anaconda.
That's all I want to say.
That's a snake.
Yes, that is a snake.
Not Anaconda. But Ronnie is kind of quite famous in EastEnders land for doing a fabulous Peggy Mitchell impression in the Alison McGowan days, isn't she? So
the Alison McGowan big impressions. Yes. I used to love that show when I was younger.
It was a good show. It was a good show. And she did do a very funny Peggy Mitchell. I'll give her that. I used to like the little walks that she used to give Peggy. She'd be on her knees and just sort of walk around like a little robot. Breasts forward. It was great.
Yes, always chest out. Yeah.
Quite funny. But she's a real character here, B. Mm. Now, it does transpire that Linda and her little group of friends, Linda apparently was a bit of a mean girl, and I can kind of see it, actually.
Yeah. You can, and you can also see that she'd have the unawareness of the fact that she was in the mean girl group. Yeah. It's quite believable.
Well,
to be
unawareness
fair.
Or denial.
Yeah, maybe a bit of both. Mm. Maybe a bit of both.
I think.
Well, just, I guess. When you're younger, though, she might not have even genuinely wouldn't have realised her actions. It's only because it's been pointed out that she can reflect and go, actually, now he's saying it. Yeah, that wasn't cool. But in her perspective at the time, she might not have.
She was just
being
the popular kid.
I mean,
I feel like Elaine later on in the week, when she was like, well, you were one of the most popular kids at school. So I can't imagine that Elaine ever was the sort of mother who would kind of maybe hammer into her kids' brains that maybe.
Yeah.
Don't be like that with the other kids.
Yeah.
You know
or
what I mean?
Or even hold her accountable if Linda would come home and been like, oh, we played this joke on this girl and Elena. Bah, you're just so popular,
you're so
Linda.
Popular Linda. B does not have great memories of Linda at all.
No.
I don't know if it's going to be a simple case of Linda made this girl's life hell and she didn't deserve it. Because I feel like there's slightly more to uncover with B.
I felt like that when she was skipping forward a bit, but when she was actually at the boutique hotel or the B&B, there was an air to her of, you're not everything that you seem, are you?
Well, there was more to it than, because Honey and...
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
And B end up swapping bags. I mean, in another life, I think B and Honey would have been the best of friends because they are actually quite similar in many ways, I think. They've both got
the
that
same
sort
handbag.
Of... They've got the same handbag, and they're also both quite eccentric. I feel like they'd either absolutely despise each other or they'd absolutely love each other.
Yeah, they'd clash or they'd get on.
Yeah, exactly. There is time. And then, so what happens is they find the address of B in her handbag and go to return the bag. And when they get to this address, they see B being chucked out of the house by her partner, husband, boyfriend. I feel like boyfriend,
landlord?
Not husband. Chucked out because she didn't have her key.
Yeah.
Which seemed odd. And
very odd. Very odd.
Was being called a parasite and all of that kind of thing. So I was sort of like, oh, yes, at the face of it, you know, this is just a mean man being horrible to her. But at the same time, it's sort of like, parasite's an odd thing to say in that situation unless there's smoke without fire, you know? It seems like there's maybe more to it.
That's why I were wondering, was he a landlord? Because for me... I don't know, she didn't seem like, she was like, oh, please, we can make it work. She accepted it quite easily.
I thought that they'd established it was a part. It was a partner of some description.
Oh, did they actually establish
I think they
that?
Did. I think they did. Someone will tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it was. I certainly got the impression that it was a partner. Anyway,
I got the impression that we were supposed to interpret it as her partner, but then I was like, well, she's not really.
Detective Ree
like
is on the case.
I mean,
it's
I've got a board out back.
It's like doing a podcast with Detective Inspector Slater. So what ends up happening is B goes to the boutique hotel and ends up staying there. What I think is going to happen from this is that it's going to be the word parasite, I think, is going to be quite relevant, because parasite would imply somebody who is constantly sort of taking.
Yeah.
And I feel like Linda is going to start feeling really, really guilty about the way that she treated B at school, and B is going to take advantage of that.
Yes, I've been thinking that. Or is it going to be that she's secretly held this grudge for years and try and get back at Linda in any way she can? And she's going to end up getting with Max, who's got a lot of money as well. And then it'll mean that Linda starts getting a bit jealous, because even though she didn't want Max, she didn't want B to be with Max.
I mean, you say Max has got a lot of money. He was job hunting this week, so he's not
completely...
That is
true.
He's not,
but he's always
like
been
flush.
Like, he paid off Lauren's, you know, debt straight away, didn't he, when she'd stolen
that
money?
And now he needs a job, because he's spent all his money on sorting people's problems
but
out.
But like with Zoe, we're helping. Yeah, he paid for Zoe's investigator at the time and stuff.
Mm.
Or does he need a legit job? Because he's doing is actually dodgy.
Indeed. Would be, I don't know how long she, I don't know how long this story is. I don't know whether that she's a new regular, or whether she's just a guest character or anything like that. She doesn't, I've got to be honest, she doesn't give me vibes of someone who's going to be around for ages.
There is time. I don't know. I know what you mean. For me, it may be like a few months, a year, but.
Well, I've already seen theories that she's the pregnant woman in the bed. On the flash forward, so
to me it seems
possible.
Likely that she's going to have a connection to Max. I think
you
that's
think
going
so.
To be
you
what...
think
yeah,
you're clipping her to Max, are you? Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I say, she can get at Linda in that way. It gives Linda a reason to start getting a bit jealous, maybe, and wonder about her feelings. I don't want to say that she'll be either of the women though by Christmas Day. I think by New Year's Day, sorry, next year, because I think Max is such a quick worker. It could be anyone. I think he might have a little fling with her. It'll make Linda realise, actually, I do quite like Max more than I thought. And that might be a part in it.
I don't know about Linda and Max. As long as Linda isn't the bride on New Year's Day, I won't mind it. But that'll be the deal breaker for me if Linda ever gets married to somebody else on New Year's Day, especially the person who is kind of responsible for the Mick and
their
Linda relationship
down.
Going down, and thereby Mick getting with Janine, and then Mick going into the sea, I would say.
Yeah, but kind of Rob, you know
Max
what?
Was
it's EastEnders. It's EastEnders, so it could happen. I think you just might have to suspend your belief and think
I
that it
shall
could actually
suspend
be Linda.
Nothing. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But as far as B's concerned, yeah, interesting. I like the idea of sort of scratching away a little bit at what Linda used to be like. I can totally picture her as a mean girl. But I also feel like there's a little bit more to B than meets the eye. And I feel like Linda is going to be taken advantage of big style, is my prediction. Okay. Right. Final storyline of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Ravi taking one hell of a trip. So, final storyline of this week, and this is Harry's revenge on Ravi, which really begins to unfurl this week. Him and Nicola have obviously got a plan of some description, and Nicola has decided that the way to punish Ravi for what he did to Harry is to give him a taste of his own medicine, literally. Mm. Because she orders a batch of drugs in order to give him one hell of a time. Now, my first question is, what are these drugs that make someone do this? I know they are a thing.
Is it? I just thought it was like acid or something.
Acid.
Something that makes you hallucinate, surely?
Well, it was a powdery thing, because she managed to stir it into his drink, wasn't it? So it was some sort. I mean, I don't know if acid comes in powder form. You're the person I always turn to when it comes to
I was just going
to
say, well, Rob, actually, acid comes in a variety of. I've no idea. I don't know.
That's the one you avoid, is it? That's a rule.
Yeah,
as a rule.
That's what I've not touched.
No, don't do that. But yeah, Nicola spikes Ravi's drink, because obviously she's been leading Ravi to believe that there's no beef between me and you. Like, yeah, Harry might be being a bit bullshittier every now, but as far as I'm concerned, me and you are the best mates. You know, we've got history. We're colleagues, you know. Come into my bar whenever you like. And so Ravi comes into the bar and
more fool Ravi
spiked.
Or what?
I know, right?
When you put it like that, Rob, what were you
come
thinking?
On. bearing in mind that you have dangled one of her children over a bridge and the other one you held captive whilst you were force feeding him heroin. I would not be trusting Nicola Mitchell in those circumstances, especially with something I was about to consume.
Yes, so true in it, but hey ho, he does.
He does.
Ravi.
Yep, because he takes these drugs and goes on one hell of a trip, and Harry then kind of leads him into the archers and leaves him in the pit. Now, pause there with Ravi, because meanwhile, Suki and Eve are having their adoption meeting, and Suki has made it quite clear that she does not want Ravi there, and I can again understand this. I think it's not unfair, given them what has happened.
I also think that they've done really well in covering up the fact that Balvinda was off filming Strictly at the time, and they kind of made it work.
She was. Yeah, because she's sort of been flitting backwards and forwards, but she's not been in it a massive amount over the past few weeks.
But that really worked, actually, just being like, oh, by the way, she said she didn't want you there. It weren't until the episode ended that I was like, oh, yeah, she should have been doing Strictly. Yeah. It didn't matter that she wasn't there, really.
I quite liked Avani this week. Just not interested in any of it. I'm just hungry.
Fully fair. Yeah. Dad's missing? Well, can I just get the takeaway?
So what?
Well,
can
gone,
I
please?
Just eat my pizza, please? That would be great. Thank you very much. He'll be fine. So Ravi's missing. So they have to go out and search for him. Yes. Ravi, meanwhile, is tripping balls in that pit, isn't he?
He is tripping balls. I'll give you that.
One hell of a trip. And we get a unannounced, always love it, unannounced return this week.
Unspoiled.
Of Mr. Nish Panesar.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that. We got his voice at the as the Duff Duff. And I was sort of like, oh, are they? I wasn't sure. I was like, have they clipped something and stuck it over as audio? Yeah. Are we going to see him at all? So I wasn't convinced at the end of the Duff Duff that we were going to see Nish. But then the next episode, there he is.
I even thought if they AI'd it, like if they just AI'd his voice, I wonder if that'll be a thing soon.
You mean like they did with Pat?
Like some people thought, that wasn't me, by the way.
No.
In case people think that was me, no.
So rather... it could have been, but no, we do have him back. Navin Chowdhury returned for a little brief appearance, and I mean, I liked it. I I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, what drugs did you take in order to get you here? But I suppose it's a case of, you know, whatever drug he was taking, Ravi is already, I think, not in a great place mentally, I'm suspecting.
Yeah. So, toying with his conscience, I think, at the minute, and that's probably... quite at the forefront, considering he killed his dad, you know,
twice.
His second dad.
Two dads he's killed now. So I bear in mind that this stuff is probably going to be somewhere in his brain, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
A drug that sort of coaxes these sorts of negative emotions out of you is going to have a ball with Ravi, you know.
Yeah. I feel like you're right, though, in a way. Like, we're saying some kind of drug. I think they could have told us, like, Nicola could have said to Harry, like, oh, I've got such and such.
I don't know about that, because that does suggest, what a good idea, can some psycho say as they're watching EastEnders, you know?
Oh, do you reckon that's what it is? Oh, maybe, not thought of that, but it just would have been interesting to know what it is that...
Frankly, Ray, I'm glad that you don't know this information, because I know what you're like. I could annoy you 1 week, and
It must be something that you can't get easily on the streets, put it that way, Rob, because I've never heard it.
She had to order specially. She had to order it in specially with her contacts.
Exactly,
Let's bear in mind, Nicola is dangerous as a person, really, isn't she? Because she's got these contacts where somebody will quite cheerfully send her something for her to spike someone's drink in her club. I mean, it's so... There are times with Nicola, I mean, I love Nicola to pieces. I think she's a fantastic character. Mm-hmm. But there are times where you literally have to look at her sometimes and think, there's an evil in you.
I'll tell you something. If she gets caught, her license is out of the window. Your own customer with drugs.
It's not great, is it?
Wow. The amount of licensing rules she's broken there.
You think the Vic's getting bad reviews recently? Wait till you read Harry's Barnes review.
I left that
bar absolutely off my tits and hallucinating my dead dad. I suspect the barmaid spiked me with some drugs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not great. So we see Nish again, and he is taunting Ravi, and I thought the trip scenes, as I guess they're called, were actually really well directed. I thought there were some nice kind of one shots where, like, you'd see Nish in the background, and then the camera would sort of follow Ravi around, sort of freaking out, and then return back to the spot where Nish was, and he'd be gone, or he'd be in a different place. I thought it was really well sort of filmed, that bit.
Very true, actually. They were really well done. But my only thinking, as much as I really enjoyed seeing Nish, don't get me wrong, I'm like really conflicted because a part of me also thinks, are they bringing these characters back? Are they bringing people back too often? But then I understand that it were kind of necessary for it to work in the way that it did.
I'm not there yet. I think that, I mean, you could argue we did just kind of do hallucinogenics, hallucinations is what I was trying to say there, with sort of the Nigel stuff, and that's, but that was done in a very different tone.
Very
And
different,
and I feel like actually the idea that Ravi would see Nish at that moment actually felt really in character. I think it was right. I don't think that the story was, they kind of thought, oh, I want Ravi to see Nish, or we'll construct this around it. I feel like it was kind of like Ravi's going to be given these drugs, and I think he would see
That's
Nish at
true.
that moment, you know?
Yeah, that's true, because they could have done it. Yeah, they could have still done this storyline and it not been Nish or him having some kind of other trip, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. But I did enjoy seeing him, and I
Although,
thought
I was
it was
expecting to see Ranveer
very
as well,
cleverly
actually.
done.
Yeah, I was expecting to see Ranveer as well, to be fair. So maybe that would have been just a pair of them sat stood over him taunting him. Maybe that could have happened as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Ranveer would have been good. When you said earlier it were two dads, I thought, where were Ranveer? But yeah, Nish felt more fitting though, didn't
I
it?
mean, Nish is just a great villain, though, isn't he? Like, you know, like it's something about Navin's performance as Nish, where like the second he's on screen, everything just feels 10 times more sinister.
And especially considering he's nothing like it in real life.
No, he's.
I still see a bit of Kurt from Teachers, I'm not gonna lie,
Well,
right?
he's a
But
nice
no, but
man in
that
real
just
life.
shows how varied he is, because Kurt couldn't have been a completely different character to Nish if he tried. I'm sure some people watch Teachers and know what I'm on about there.
Yes. Ravi is sort of he's escaped the pits because he's had a whole episode in here where like he thought Nish was driving him away, and like Nish is taunting him. He gets out of the back of the archers because Harry was supposed the plan was for Harry to stay with him and just kind of turn the screws more, I expect. But Billy has kind of dragged Harry away to have a Chinese, and Harry's like, yeah, all right, I've got to have a Chinese, fair play, leave you in the pit, it'll be fine, you'll still be there the next day, right? But he gets out the back fire exit, which again, that fire exit, I swear, hasn't always been there, but they've made use of it recently, haven't they?
No,
But it's another,
I
it
feel
must
like
have always been there.
that they've done it recently. I feel like it has been there a few times now, so we can accept that it's there now.
But Ravi sort of wanders around the streets. Obviously, his family are now looking for him. And just as sort of hallucinogenic Nish is tormenting him and it's reaching its peak, Nugget unfortunately comes around the corner. Terrible timing. And Ravi attacks what he thinks is Nish and actually attacks Nugget and knocks him unconscious and beats him up. And then staggers off and collapses in a yard somewhere, leaving
I did
Nugget.
not see that coming, did you?
No, I was worried because I'm like, can this not be the end of Nugget, please? I don't want that. Thank you very much. He's in a
We
coma at the
can't be the end.
moment.
You can't get rid of Nugget. I'm not being
No,
fu like
he's my
there's just
favorite.
actually so much like potential for him as a
Oh,
character
huge.
anyway.
I
You
love
can't get
Nugget.
rid of
I think
Nugget.
he is my favorite of the kids. Do you know what I mean? Like
Yes, I
of all the
agree.
young
Yeah,
cast
yeah,
at the
yeah,
moment, like
yeah.
no, he's not been given enough to do recently, and I hope that this is maybe the start of a bit more Nugget because I do
Well,
like
this
him.
is what I'm going to ask though. Are you scared that Nugget's gone? Because I'm not. I'm like,
No,
there's no way they're getting rid of Nugget. There's too,
I
like I
think
said, there
he's.
is genuinely too much potential.
Yeah, I think he's in a coma. I feel like no, I don't think. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be fine. What I did enjoy was Vinny. Another typical Vinny moment, who kind of happens upon Nugget and is staring at this body on the ground and says, Ravi, is that you? Because, Nugget and Ravi look exactly alike, don't they? This big beefcake of a man and a teenage boy. They look
It
exactly the
was
same.
dark. It was dark, though. I think he could. I think we
Not,
were
it
supposed
wasn't
to believe
pitch
he couldn't
black.
see. No, I know. I know.
Like, have you taken some of
Nugget was
these drugs,
wearing
Vinny?
quite a distinguishable coat as well, I feel,
Yeah.
but there we
Like
go.
they are completely different
Vinny!
heights. They are completely different sizes. It's Vinny, isn't it? Bless him.
Vinny's not good at anything that he tries to do, Rob. Come on.
Well,
When will people learn?
not
Well,
quite
except for one
anything.
thing.
Apart from anything,
Hey,
thank you,
wink, wink,
Penny.
nudge,
We
nudge.
got some very intimate details about Vinny this week, didn't we, from Penny?
Didn't we? I feel like that's very in character for Penny to be like someone who we hear these kind of details
I
from, though, as
just.
well.
Well, it's the fact that she seemed so much more delighted with sleeping with Vinny than she did with Harry.
Yeah, that's
And
so true. Well, there you go.
bless Vinny, I didn't have him down as being better in bed than Harry was, but apparently,
Well,
there
there you go.
you go. He's up there with Phil Mitchell as one of the best lays in Wolford, it would transpire.
So, I think it's going to be Penny's baby as well that Jack's got. I think Penny might be in danger, you reckon, know, from this.
Yeah, I think so. This may be the start. Maybe we said that maybe nothing was done with the flash forward this week, but maybe actually we got a couple of seeds.
Couple of seeds. One brain.
Dearie me.
Yes.
Dearie me. Yes, possibly, actually. This could be the start of... I don't want Penny to go.
I don't want Penny to go either. Or maybe she's in hospital or something. Maybe she doesn't die, but she's like in hospital.
Jack looked too depressed on that New Year's Day episode. You know what I mean? Like,
there was loads of reasons he could be depressed. It was 10th anniversary of Ronnie. And, you know, now he's found out his brother's marrying her. And, you know.
yeah, we've
and all... actually, he's impregnated Roxy as well.
I'm not being funny. If anyone has seen Corriedale this week, you will know that. If Corriedale are going through with what they seem to be suggesting they're going through, you haven't seen it, so I don't want to spoil it for you, but there is Emmerdale, so it's not the one
anyone else,
anyway. Yeah, fast forward a few seconds if you haven't seen Corriedale yet and you want to.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
He brought back a character that was very much dead. In fact, I'm fairly sure the corpse was seen.
I've seen a meme of this, yeah.
So I'm not being funny. No one will ever tell, unless he is a twin, it transpires, nobody will ever tell me that the sisters can't come back if that's happened.
I agree. We all know that they can come back. Do you know what I'm going to say, right? I'm going to put this out there now, because I know some people comment and say, we need to get over it, Ronnie and Roxy.
You can get over it if you like.
That I agree. I know, but they're not saying it that bluntly, to be fair. Like, I think you need to let go of them coming back.
No.
Right.
No,
I will let go if it's neither of those two next year on New Year's Day.
Oh, will you? That'll be the moment for you, will it?
Yeah, because I feel like that would be the perfect time for them to come back on the 10th anniversary. Something to do with Max, who's obviously very heavily linked to Jack, Ronnie, you know, and Roxy. Both Roxy's got a kid with him. Ronnie was... If it doesn't happen next New Year's Day,
you're done.
Yeah.
You're gonna leave me to push this on my own, are you? If it's not them next year.
I'm like, Rob, get over it. They're gone. They're dead. We saw it happen. They can't bring them back now.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've got one more year of praying that Ronnie and Roxy are coming back.
So buckle in, people that don't think they're ever coming back. Got at least another year of this left. So Nugget's in a coma. It's not looking great for him, but I think he's going to be okay. And Ravi is currently sort of passed out in a yard somewhere. I think the same yard that Ben passed out in when he was on drugs. So I think we can now christen that yard Off Your Tits on Drugs Yard.
And Harry hid the gun there, didn't he, as well?
Yes.
I think it's the same yard as where Harry hid the gun.
Yeah, which means that he kind of, because I'm fairly sure that, well, the yard with the gun, I thought was just outside the arches. So he literally sort of did a little circle on himself and then sort
I think it is close by. Well, talking of Nugget, by the way, we had that scene of Nugget and Nicola in McCunkey's.
Oh, yes, I liked that.
Where Nicola's like, drugs? I don't know. Oh, God, everyone's going to be saying that's me now, aren't they? Where Nicola's
you are Nicola Mitchell, aren't you? Wow, I didn't think of that. You own a bar. You've got so many drug connections.
Don't say this now, blooming out. Don't put this out there. For anyone who doesn't have a clue about what we keep joking about, I have been on the receiving end of very strong and harsh allegations that I am, apparently, due to how I've presented myself in this podcast that you're watching.
It's not even that. If you missed the episode where Ree was in Turkey, her connection sounded weird. And it made... I didn't even notice it, but it made
it
her
did,
sound...
It did sound it, weird, to be fair.
It made her voice sound like she was either drunk or had taken something.
Yeah.
And the comment section...
I mean, I think that's harsh, though, that it sounded like I'd taken something. I just sounded a bit... slurry for some reason. That's how my mic decided to work that week.
But give me a crumb like that and I will run with it.
And quite a few viewers as well, it would seem.
There you go. We've got a new in-joke with the podcast. Anyway, we always love them. But yes, what were you going
to
say?
But anyway, so Nicola was acting all innocent to Nugget and being like, oh, well, because Nugget was saying, oh, I'm a bit scared that you might have taken something. And she was like, oh, is that, what are drugs? I don't even know what drugs are.
I've never heard of a drug.
Those kind of circles.
You think he's taken a paracetamol, maybe? Did he have a headache?
He'd be okay with the paracetamol.
Yeah, vitamin tablet, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was trying to, I mean, she did make some good points in the sense that, because I think Nugget was trying to say, you know, he's a good man. And I can understand Nicola's perspective where she's like, is he? He's dangled one of my children over a bridge and the other one he kidnapped. I don't think he's a very good man whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then Nugget sort of stormed out and Nicola had the nerve to look surprised. So I look really offended. Where are you going? Sport you chips.
I feel like Nugget can see that Ravi's trying to change, though, because before that, he'd agreed with why Suki had said, I don't want him there. And he said something like, well, Dad, you're not, you know, on paper, a really good role model, are you? But then
the
was
thing is,
standing up for him towards Nicola.
The thing is with Nugget, though, he does this with the sort of male role figures, male
That's
role
true,
figures
yeah.
in his life, doesn't he? He did it with Nish.
Yeah.
And I can see him doing it with Ravi, like defending him to the absolute halt. Mm. You know, and probably being one of the only ones left that will do that. So
always trying to see the good in them for what
this
good
might
he's done
change.
Him.
This might change things from that perspective slightly.
Well, this is it. So, do you think Nugget will remember anything after the coma? Because I feel like they could have easily done all of this without him having that scene with Nicola. So I feel like that's going to be relevant somehow, but I just can't figure out how.
True. I feel like Ravi's certainly not going to remember anything.
No, but do you think? Do you think he'll remember that he hit somebody that he thought was Nish in the same place where Nugget was attacked and put the dots together?
I don't know, because he was that gone. If he is literally fighting with somebody who he doesn't think he doesn't know is there, I feel like he was that far gone, he's not going to remember any of it. I think he'll remember.
I feel like he might remember some bits, though, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like he'll remember that he apparently took something or was given something and was having a mad old time, but I don't think he'll remember necessarily the details of it.
Yeah, true. And where he actually was. Because in his mind, he might not have been there anyway, I guess.
I think that Nugget will remember when he comes around.
I hope so. But then, like I say, I just feel like, will Nugget put it together that it were Nicola somehow, or will Ravi figure it out? Because, or is everyone just going to think that Ravi chose to take drugs and did it himself? And do you think that's the route they're going down?
Honestly, I think Harry will say something, because I think Harry will quite enjoy that he was responsible for it. And I think he will taunt Ravi, and then Ravi will work it out that it was to do with the Mitchells, and then
World War III
will kick off in Albert Square.
I think Ravi will know that it was something to do with the Mitchells, but nobody will believe him, and everyone will say, oh, you've just not changed, you said you'd change, you're clearly out there doing drugs now, and you know, we were all waiting for you for some food, and he'll be like, boy, with the Mitchells, but no one will believe him.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
Time will tell. Gold star this week, Ray.
Right, I'm torn. Part of me wants to give it to Ravi, because I just think that Aaron Tiara did a really stellar performance
really
of it.
Really
believable.
Really good.
I'm that close, but I actually think I'm going to have to give it to Alfie.
Oh, okay.
Holding the Slaters together at the minute. I feel like Alfie deserves it this week.
Okay, fair. And I will give mine to Ravi. I am going to give mine to
Ravi.
Yeah,
okay, good.
I thought, like you say, Aaron was fantastic in what he was doing this week. A week that I think started off very odd and then grew quite strong by the time we got to the end of the week. I thought the whole trip scenes, I wasn't sure when they first started. I was like, I don't know. But then by the time we got to him seeing Nish and...
Yeah.
I thought it was actually quite an interesting little study of where Ravi's brain is at the moment.
I agree, and it was all very well done.
Yeah, because he is somebody who actually has gone through quite a lot. Some of it of completely his own making, granted. But where are you in terms of redeeming Ravi for what he did to Harry, though? I don't know if we're there yet.
I feel like this is supposed to be...
If it's supposed
like,
to be
oh,
it, yeah.
There we go, they've got the revenge. Now Ravi can go back to being good Ravi, and this is supposed to be it. But he's still... I don't know. It is a hard one, though, because he has seemed like he does feel like genuine remorse for some of what he did to Harry. But then when he was doing it at the time...
Yeah, it's too late.
But when he was doing it at the time, he did not care. There was not one part of him that was like, I shouldn't be doing this. And to Kojo, let's not forget Kojo.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, Ravi, if we're going to suddenly like start studying Ravi's mental health and we're going to start feeling sorry for Ravi, it's sort of like, I'm really struggling with my mental health at the moment after I cuckooed a guy and locked another one up and force fed him heroin. I'm really struggling with my emotions at the moment. It's sort of like, what might be interesting is if we're doing that with both Ravi and Harry and putting them together in battle whilst they're both struggling with their mental health. That might be an interesting sort of psychological study. True. I think. Mm-hmm. But
sorry, we'll whilst see. We're on it, very quickly.
Yes.
Harry's recovered very well from his heroin addiction. What, were you at rehab for 2 weeks?
Yeah, he was only in there for 2 weeks. I feel like he hasn't... I feel like... I don't know if he's totally recovered from it because he's a lot more sort of... I think he's a lot more intense since he came back. Like, especially with Ravi. Like, there was a moment in the square this week where, like, he bumped into Ravi and sent his coffee flying or whatever. And, like, the look in his eyes was, like, really sort of feral. So I wonder if he's putting his addiction into his anger towards Ravi at the moment.
So he's putting all of that focus onto Ravi, which, but I think that's fair enough. And even if he hadn't, like, you know, considering Ravi's walking around living this seemingly happy life while he's lost, while he don't want to get with Gina whilst he's in recovery, his dad's gone down, like, he's lost Barney, all because of everything that happened because of Ravi. It kind of makes sense, but I don't know. I think they could have shown maybe a little bit of him struggling. He did have, like, 2 major overdoses.
Yeah, he did. But then I also feel like he's had some moments where he's been like, you know, I need to keep busy. So I feel like they haven't forgotten entirely.
Yeah.
I feel like he's very much thrown himself into this revenge plan in order to sort of keep himself busy, so to speak. So I don't think we've seen quite the end of the drug journey with Harry yet, but we shall see.
Okay.
And final section of the podcast, ladies and gents, is some comments from you.
So we've got a comment here from Daisy Lakin who says, I loved last night's episode. I do think old characters coming back is being overdone a smidge, so it has a bit less impact. But I thought it was actually really fitting that Ravi saw Nish, and I felt like we never really saw Ravi deal with what happened other than a few days straight after. So tied up some loose ends for me. Harry and Ravi were amazing in the episode.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I'm at. I think that kind of takes both our points and puts them in one, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm not there yet with the, like, are we here again with a flashback return or whatever. To be honest with you, I'm not there yet. But I can see, you know, why people might be like...
I am a little bit now, I think. It did lose the impact for me. It would have been, I don't know though how much of a break you need to have, because my mind didn't automatically go to Pat and Barry, because like you said, that was done in such a different way. But I do feel like it lost its impact a little bit for me, I must admit.
I don't know.
I loved seeing it, though. Like, I enjoyed it.
I just think because it made... I think just because it made so much story sense to me, I was sort of like, yeah, of course you'd seen Nish at that moment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it, and what Daisy does say there is that it's going to be interesting to see if this is the start of us really sort of unravelling Ravi's mind when it comes to the Nish stuff and the Ranveer stuff and everything, which necessarily has not been full-on addressed yet. If this is the start of that, then bring it on, I say. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Because he's not really thought about it since it happened. It was only a year ago, weren't it? So, yeah, maybe it is the start.
Are they going to maybe try and push the whole cuckooing plot happen because that was his messed up way of dealing with something in his head? Is that what they're going
to do? It was like his distraction almost from it. Like, Harry's chucked himself into getting his revenge on Ravi. Ravi just used that as a distraction from what he'd done to Nish.
Distraction techniques are dangerous. Is that going to be the story, I wonder? Annalise Bazaar says, Ravi will be so upset. Priya might not forgive. Seeing and hearing Nish through Ravi's hallucinations was fun for us, if not for Ravi. Yesterday, I thought B was a one-off, but nope. Now I think she'll be around a while and trouble and possibly, brackets probably, get involved with Max. Now I'm wondering if Ollie's troubles were only to give Linda the excuse to go and find her and will be dropped. Minimo, I thought Minimo was very cute this week, with Lily and Jasmine and the family rundown that remembered Kyle exists. Jasmine's really been way more open and relaxed these days. The shiftiness seems gone. It's quite a bit to unpack there. I mean, I think it's, again, with the fact that we've got the flash forward, it's going to be one of those things where, like, any character now, we're going to, like, especially a new character comes in, we're going to be watching them like a hawk. I didn't get the sense that B is going to be that involved with the flash forward, but I could be wrong.
I think it's way too early to decide that either way, but I do think that it'd be a waste if she doesn't somehow have some involvement with Max, so that they at least make us think, oh, it's B, she's going to be the one in the flash forward.
Well,
and then it doesn't end up being her.
Well, like we said during flashback week, whoever is pregnant in that bed needs to be pregnant soon to be that pregnant, even if I got it wrong with the fact that she's giving birth during that episode, though I do still think she does, they need to be that pregnant by the time New Year's Day comes around. So that needs to happen soon. So
yeah, in the next few months, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Max don't waste any time. I'm sure he can impregnate someone in the next few months. Just who?
Yeah, just who?
Kathy Verhoeven-Kettner says, showing us the experience Ravi was going through and what was going on in his head in this episode was brilliantly acted, written, directed, all of the above. Gold star. Damn, though, I hope Nugget pulls through. I don't know if Priya will forgive this.
Yeah, I mean, where is the Ravi and Priya relationship going after this? Because is this forgivable, do you think?
Well,
I mean, it's not his fault that he did that, but at the same time...
But also, it technically
also
is.
Also, it kind of is, because he's being punched for something that he definitely deliberately did. So.
Exactly. So it depends how deep Priya takes it and how badly Nugget is, I guess. I mean, I think Nugget will make it through, but I do think it's going to throw a spanner in the works for Ravi and Priya for a good few months in between. It'd be absolutely surprising if Priya goes, oh yeah, Ravi, it weren't your fault at all. You were drugged. You didn't know what were going on. You know, can't see that happening, can you?
I don't know. With Priya, it seems that she is very defensive of Ravi when she has to be. And
yeah, but
I
it's
think...
Nugget.
It is Nugget, yeah. It's a different kettle of fish when it starts involving the kids. But I don't know. I think I can see Priya being angry initially, but she's already done her anger at Ravi for what happened with Kojo and Harry.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if like that will get pushed aside in order for her to sort of be at his side going to war with the Mitchells.
But you know what's gonna happen, don't you? Maybe then. What? I wonder if Ravi is gonna kinda remember. Put the pieces together himself,
lie
but not admit
it.
Yeah, and then that's when Priya will be like, I can't forgive you, you knew it were you. We've been looking for the guy that's done this to him for months, and all along it were you. Maybe it'll go down that route.
Maybe. Finally, Becky L. Pickeringer said, actually, fantastic episode today. I know that by the end, Nishi's storyline had dragged on, but it was great seeing him again. Navin is just so fantastic at the role. I know there are mixed feelings on Jean, but her actress never fails to do a spectacular job. I like how her mania has taken a slightly different route compared to last time by involving some religious psychosis too. Stops it being too repetitive. Her last manic episode felt recent, even though it was years ago. The Kyle mention was a nice touch too. I wasn't expecting. We had a couple of mentions this week, actually. Patrick mentioned Isaac again, which surprised me because I've got the sense that we'd forgotten that he existed.
Yep.
And the same with Kyle as well, getting a proper mention this week when Lily was sort of talking to Jasmine about her new family tree.
Interesting. You don't think Kyle's going to come back, do you? Or do you think they just remembered that he existed and thought, oh yeah, we'll mention actually.
We'll mention him. He's there in the background being a chef. Yeah. But Jean, yeah, there's a few, I know there's a few people that are sort of like really getting, that Jean's getting on their nerves a little bit now. And I can understand why, but she's just that sort of character, isn't she? Where it's sort of, sometimes I feel like it's difficult to know what to do with Jean a little bit.
It's like, I agree with what you said, to be honest. Stick with the detective stuff at the first part of the week. Like you say, the religious-y kind of side, the devil stuff. Yeah, fine. I don't mind that. That feels quite believable. But I think it was the stuff at the start of the week just seemed a bit too silly, I think.
Agreed. So there we go then. That's it for this week, ladies and gents. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. Do not forget to be voting in the award ceremony for your favourites, or your favourite might not win the award. And that will be a travesty. Don't let it happen. And you can be in touch with us anytime you like by doing the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can find us on Apple and wherever you find your podcasts. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/e20afterdark.
Yes, you can indeed. Once again, thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from Ray.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.